I want to talk to you about a little more. You know, we talked about the law. And we talked about how on one side, Israel thought they were keeping it to get righteousness, mm-hmm. when God didn't want that at all. And something changed. And that division keeps coming up, not here at the cross, not here at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The changing of that is in Acts chapter 9 with the Apostle Paul. You see that almost inevitably. See, the people say, why do you rightly divide the word of truth? Well, the whole thing, go to Romans chapter 12. I wasn't going to start here, but I think it's a good place to kind of bounce off. I love this passage. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here is the point of the passage. You need that. You see the word that? The reason that you go through all the renewing of your mind is that you may prove what is that a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You don't rightly divide because you don't like the doctrine you're hearing. You don't rightly divide because you wanted to say something other than what you wanted to say. You rightly divide to prove, listen to me, what is that acceptable or that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when you go to test something, and it doesn't really matter to me what you test. People get all this rightly dividing thing all confused in their mind. People say, well, you're against my religion. No, I'm not. Say, well, you're attacking this. No, I'm not. What I've learned to do over my 25 years is to take passages and compare them. Illustration. There are only three examples. Are you listening to me very carefully? Is it warm in here or is it just me?
It's warm.
Would you get your husband out for a minute and chill that down just a little bit for me?
It probably hurts.
Maybe. I don't know if it's
good.
Good. If I could just get the ESP stuff down, you know.
You need a fan because the air just came back on. You're just missing the fan.
You're in the spotlight too.
Yeah, the light. Yeah.
Thank you. You're in my spotlight too. Anyway, there are only, listen to me very carefully. This is so unbelievable when you think about it. How many years gone to churches and they taught Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Most of us. And the problem is in these books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, do you realize there are only three? Only. There aren't any other. You need to write this down. There are only three examples of Gentiles. What do you think about that? That's weird, isn't it? When you really think about it, three examples out of Matthew, Mark, all those pages, and God only gives you three examples of how a Gentile could get saved. Isn't that weird?
Yes.
How many think that's weird? That's a little weird, isn't it? And so, what we're supposed to do is prove what is that good and acceptable, and I can roll my sleeves up, can't I? It looks like I'm working hard, you know. The hard-working preacher.
Yeah.
It was funny, Miss Hampton. This was my favorite shirt. This was my first designer shirt I ever. This is a Mark Shell. It's about a $200 shirt. Not bragging, I didn't pay but $35 for it. But I bought it at the place Mark Shell sells in Kansas City. And it was my favorite. I wore it slap out. And back then I was a really big fat guy. And then I lost that weight and then now I'm putting this liquid on. I fit back into it. So, you know, just hang on to everything. It'll come back. So I'm getting to wear my favorite shirt again. Didn't get quite ironed well, but we tried. It was a rough morning. Why are you guys staring at me? So what I want to do is I want to prove to you for just a minute about these three Gentiles. And I have never, listened to me, ever heard it thought right in churches. Ever. How many here, in some degree, thought they could get saved out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Okay, what did you think? Just give me, what was the thoughts out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
I don't know.
It can be general, just kind of your philosophy of what you thought.
I get really, honestly, I'm really confused now that I come here because as a child I grew up and every, now I'm confused because I was taught I could lose my salvation.
As a child. Yeah. And I'm going to show you why in just a minute. Because I think that's a very important thing. Who else? Someone else said it.
Seek ye the kingdom first.
Seek the kingdom first kind of philosophy.
Man, you thinking that, okay, if you did this, this is mean you can you being saved.
Right. Someone over here raised their hand. What was your thoughts out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that kind of made you feel like you were going to be saved?
I just thought if I could strive to do those commandments and maybe look good without way bad, I'd be okay.
Yeah. Anyone else wants to add to that? Just their feelings? There are only three examples. And when I see these three examples, I've never heard anybody, in fact, yours is probably the closest, it would make you doubt whether you got it or not. It's not, there's no security. So let's go to a couple. Go to Matthew 10 first. And I hope you get unconfused while you're here. I do. I know what you're going through. We've all gone through it. This stuff is tough stuff, isn't it? It attacks our core beliefs and our thoughts. And I'm not trying to. What I'm trying to do is get you to believe the book. That is so difficult, isn't it? All right, go to Matthew chapter 10. Everybody there? All right, now watch this. First one, now I'm not making this stuff up, guys. This is the Bible, okay? So just listen. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, how many tribes of Israel were there?
12.
He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles, first is Simon, who's called Peter, Andrew the brother, his brother James, the son of Zebedee. I'm not going to read all those. You can read them. Come on down to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. Did what? I couldn't hear you. He commanded them. The 12, Jesus went forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the what? Well, hold it. Who's that? That's me, isn't it? I'm a Gentile. Go not in the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, which were Jew and Gentile mixed. Enter ye. You with me? Now, when I first heard that flipped me out. How are you feeling now? How many's feeling flipped out? That's pretty amazing. When I hear that, I'm like, hey, I've never heard that. I've been to church all my life, and I never heard Jesus Christ one time say, you go onto the, not in the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you receive, freely give. That's clear, isn't it?
To the Jews.
It is to the Jews. How many apostles? How many tribes? How many thrones? You're starting to get 12 is connected with who? How many times? All the time. Say that. All the time. 12 is connected with the number of Israel. Now, the first time in your Bible that it shows up, there's a Gentile, is Matthew 15. Look at it. Am I doing okay? No double negatives or anything bad so far? Right. I'm willing to take English lessons as soon as I learn Spanish. She intimidates me. She's beautiful and she's smart. I hate people that are beautiful and smart. I was neither. But you know, hey, listen, I got all the way through college. Listen to me. This is a fact. I never opened up a school book. And I'm not bragging on that, but I was a good listener, and I knew who to employ when I needed my term papers written and all that. And
little drug money goes along.
Little drug money. That's true. Hey, you know, on Friday night, I was the guy to hang around with. All right, now watch this. Matthew 15. Everybody there?
Yes.
Thank God I'm saved now. Amen?
Amen.
Gosh, I praise God every day for the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest thing I've ever had. Verse 22. Everybody there? And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. Thank you. Is that the Millers? We're going to have to get yours in there. Someone just texted us Matthew 15:24. I'm going to start in 22 though. Watch this. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Did she know who she was talking to?
Yes.
There was no doubt in her mind. She's the first Gentile to approach Jesus Christ. Now, if I believed all the fairy tales that people told me growing up in churches, and I know how you feel, because I could see Jesus just leaning down and grabbing up the little sheep and saying, "Oh, isn't that what most of us had thought?" Right? Well, let's read the Bible and not let our emotions get carried away. Let's just be Bible believers. And behold, a woman of Canaan, a Gentile woman, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. Why? She's a Gentile. What did he just command his disciples? Well, if he goes and mess with them, then he's just told them something they don't know whether he's really being true or not. So what does he say? He answered her not. Oh, that was pitiful. That was almost Southern Baptist. All right, let's try that again. He answered her not a word. You got that? I mean, in fact, look what happens. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, say it with me, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Has anybody ever heard Jesus treat people like that?
No.
See, there's a lot of hokey-pokey stuff going in religion. But when you actually read the words of the Word of God, what's actually going on, it's a different picture. Amen? Why? He just said, "Go not in the way of the what?"
Gentile.
And his disciples came and besought her, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." How many times that's the first time you've ever heard that? Is that the first time you've ever heard that? Raise your hand. Isn't that amazing? Been in the Bible all this time. You know why you haven't heard it? Nobody wants to deal with it. There's only three examples. How many examples did I tell you? Three. There's only three. When you get it, show me some Gentile that got saved bought under the law, under Israel, as a spiritual Jew. Show me one place in the Word of God, in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one time. It isn't there. Where'd they get it from? They're inventing their religion out of their minds. And you know, I know you can know. Bless God, you got the Bible. Go search it out. They say you can. How many's heard that a Gentile could get saved in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Well, this one's got having too good a luck. But come on down. Because I don't want to do what they do. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." And he answered and said, this is what Jesus said to this lady, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of what?"
Israel.
Here's a reference you ought to have there. John 1 verse 11. "I came unto my own and my own received me not." Who did he come for?
Israel.
Who was he the Savior of?
Israel.
And then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And this is what he said. But he, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, answered and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread." Who are the children?
Israel.
What do you think the bread is?
Word.
And cast it to the dogs.
Gentile dogs.
I never heard that. You know what? I grew up in church all my life. I've never heard that story. Not one time. Gone to church, heard preach, a lot of preaching going on. Never heard that. Get over to Brother E.C. Moore. All of a sudden, he tells me this lady gets called a dog by Jesus. I said, how can that be? I go to church all my life, never hear that. Why are they hiding it from me? Number one example, right here. You know where she gets dealt with? The old covenant of Genesis chapter 12. God blesses who? Israel. And for any Gentile that blesses Israel, God's blessings will fall through the table to the dog. But they have to bless. What happens if they curse? If they curse, they're going to get cursed. That's true. You know, when you start to think about this story, it's amazing, isn't it? Come on down, let's finish the story. And she aligns herself, 27. She said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Who is this lady's master? She has enslaved herself to Israel. Why? It's the only way to get a blessing. First example. You with me? First example of a Gentile, and you know what's required? Works. And what is that work that is required? Keeping the commandments? They didn't have to keep the commandments. What did they have to do? Blessed Jew. Example number one. Now, hey, I'll give you a chance. Go to Luke chapter 7. Can't find Luke, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke. I'm not saying that facetiously, William, that would be nice. I'm just saying that just help. Luke chapter 7. Guess what we're going to talk about now? Example number 2. This stuff's important. How many here is learning something? Raise your hand if you're learning something. All right, that's good. Luke 7, verse 1. "Now when he had ended all his saying in the audience of the people, He entered into Capernaum. And there was a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. Guess who that was? A Gentile. Everybody say Gentile.
Gentile.
And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews. Why didn't he just go and talk to Jesus himself? So, John 14, verse 6. How many can quote that? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father. Is that true for you? If you were a Gentile here, you couldn't get to Jesus. What would you have to do? You would have to go find a Jew. You understand what I'm saying? Are y'all listening? You'd have to go find a Jew and bless them. You couldn't go to Jesus. You'd have to bless that nation of Israel to get a blessing. Now watch. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto them the elders of the Jews, beseeching that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Why would this guy be worthy? Here's the verse. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a what? What did he do? He built a synagogue, didn't he? Was he worthy?
Yes.
Yeah. You think many Gentiles would fit in that? I would doubt very many. Example number two. So what does the Lord do? He heals his servant. Why? Because he kept the commandments? Because he believed in Jesus Christ? Why did that Gentile get saved? Or dealt with? He had blessed. Are y'all with me? There's nothing here. So now we're going to go after the cross. Look, if you will, in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius. People say, well, Cornelius, he's the type of more of us. He's a Gentile like us. Acts chapter 10. Rightly dividing. We're rightly dividing the scriptures. What did it say about Gentiles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? So far. Yet. Isn't that easy? It's not hard. Can anybody think of one example that it wasn't that way? Hang on, I'm getting texts up here from the audience. Yeah, I'll get to Romans 15:8 in just a second. I think that's the Millers in Texas. In Georgia. Now listen to me very carefully. This is after the cross. Nothing has changed from Genesis chapter 12, get a shot of that over there, all the way to Acts chapter 9 so far, nothing's changed. The Gentiles come the same way. I'm going to give you a couple quick Old Testament examples. Rahab the harlot. What'd she do? She lied. God blessed her for lying. You tell your kids not to lie? That'd be bad because she got blessed by lying. Right? Come on. She said they went that away. When they were where? Isn't that weird? She was a whore. A lying whore. Went that way.
She just was directionally challenged. Like, had mobility challenged.
She was directionally challenged. That's funny. Come on. The other one would be Ruth. Naomi said, I have no more sons in my womb. Even if I came onto a man tonight, I couldn't have children for you.
That's right.
She said, I don't care. Wherever you go, I go. Because where you are, your God is my God. Lest not one time, listen, did a Gentile ever say, well, I'm going to believe on Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And not one time, are you listening to me? Not one time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John would that have been possible. People act like you can do it. Show me. I've been studying for 25 years. Show me. Well, I go to church to teach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, you haven't heard the gospel then. You know why? It ain't in there. You know, the only hope for a Gentile in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is to bless a Jew. Everybody. To bless a Jew. That's the only hope. You don't believe me? Go to Matthew 25 and read that done now, later. We may read it if we have time. Where did I tell you? Acts chapter 10. You thought I forgot, didn't you? See, that's the difference. I just keep pulling the rabbits out of the hat up here. Are you less confused now? Praise the Lord. Just hang on with us. I promise you, it'll get clearer. Because you know what? The Bible never lies, folks. You could stand on this Bible 2,000 years from now and 10,000 years from now, and it will be exactly the same as it is right now. You're never going to change. There was a certain man, verse 1, in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man. Now watch this. And one that feared God with all of his house and gave much alms to the people. What did he do? Fear God and work righteousness. Right? Fear God and work righteousness. Because he believed in God, what did he do? He gave alms to the people. Who are the people? I'll bless them that what? I'll curse them that? Nothing changed. This is after the cross, boys and girls. Nothing changed for this Gentile. Look what comes up before God. Isn't this fascinating? I find this fascinating. Can I get a sip of water? God did good when He made water, didn't He? Beer cans are rattling behind the pulpit. We're going to have to come down. You've got to admit this is probably the best church you've ever been to. Amen? If nothing else, the entertainment is bright. You know, I ain't going to churches and they're all stuffy and stiffy, you know, and they're like, they don't know what they're talking about anyway, but and the people don't know what's going on and they just kind of stay there. But I've been to a church one time. He was talking about breaking a little lamb's leg and carrying this little lamb for 6 months while the leg healed. And there was, everybody cried. And you know how much scripture he used? Zero. Told that story and then just like, oh, I can't do this. And I sit up here and read scripture after scripture and people go, not you, you guys are good. I mean, it's weird. Where am I? Thank you for keeping me on track. When he looked on him, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, the angel of God coming on. And now watch this is very important. And unto him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said, look what came up. Thy good works, thy keeping the commandments, you trusted Jesus. No, here's what came up. Thy prayers and thy alms are come up before a memorial before God. What came up? You understand? It wasn't his good works. It wasn't that he became a Christian. It wasn't that he did something spectacular. What came up before God to answer his prayers? His prayers and his money that he gave to that. I'll bless them that what? And I'll curse them that what? You're learning something today. Amen?
He didn't even have faith yet.
He didn't have faith. He didn't need faith. What did he need to do? Faith wasn't involved in the Gentile. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How many Gentiles do you think they led in the synagogues?
None.
It's so weird. I mean, it's almost a psychobabble going out in churches today. They wouldn't let you in. If you'd gone in the temple, they would have had to, like the Maccabees, sanctify the temple for 3 weeks. Don't you get it? You're a dog. How does that make you feel? When I mentioned you were a dog, you went like that. That's not fair, you know. All right, let's try. Now, I want you to hold on to Acts chapter 10 and get Titus chapter 3. Can you do that? Just slow and easy. This stuff isn't hard. You know what it is? It's hard to believe. You know why it's hard to believe? Because we've been told the opposite for years and years and years. And when we finally get to reading, we're like, it can't be that way. Y'all got Titus? Turn back to Acts chapter 10 now. Hold on to Titus. And go to verse 34. Listen what Peter said to this Gentile in order to get saved. Well, I'm going to start in 34 if that's okay. I know, but I'm running out of time. When you get to be the preacher, you put in 28. 28's good. I like 14 too. But there's a limit to time. Did you hear that? How many of you would pay an extra $100 to hear me preach another 30 minutes? You would? All right, we're on. I needed some lunch money anyway. Huh?
I'll stay, but I won't have $100.
You can bill. We can bill you. You got a visa? Then Peter opened his mouth, verse 34, and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him," feareth who?
God.
"And worketh righteousness is accepted." What happens if you don't work righteousness? Fear God and work righteousness. What was the Gentiles' works of righteousness? Was he keeping the commandments?
No.
Blessing a Jew.
That's right.
That's it. Fear God. And why would they, if they fear God, what would they do? They would work for Israel, or they'd build them a synagogue, or they'd give money.
Right.
What have we just seen? The only three examples in the Gentiles, until you get to Paul. Now look at this. Titus chapter 3. Verse 4. "But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have what?"
Yeah.
Woo! Someone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
"Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." It wasn't based upon me blessing Jew. It wasn't me about becoming a spiritual Jew. It wasn't about me doing anything. It was about me having a Savior who went to the cross and died for me.
That's right.
That's good stuff. And you know where you find that in? Romans through Philemon. You know where the lack of that's found? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In fact, there's only one other example of Gentiles getting into heaven at all in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Can anyone tell me where it is? Huh? There's only one other place that Gentiles had any hope. All right, I'm giving you, hey, hang on, I'll make it juicy. I'll put a dollar toward it. Yeah, but this is only one question. One place. Anybody can name it? It's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That the blessings would bring them about into the kingdom. All right, done. I'm it. I'm keeping my dollar. Anybody? Matthew?
Matthew 5?
No, but that was close. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, turn there. This is after the rapture, boys and girls. Matthew 25. Oh, you know, this is a trick. Look here. Have you all seen this? I'm going to rip this. Is that okay? Can you get in close here?
Gentiles.
And you rip this here. Then you tear this out. That's
wow.
Now that's tricking you. This is not tricking you. This is Bible. Matthew 25. Now watch this. That was good, wasn't it?
That was good. That was slick.
For about $2, I can show you how to make a few bucks off that one. Verse 31. Now watch this. The only other example of a Gentile having any hope, this is in the tribulation. So we've got two in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one in the book of Acts, and now we're in the tribulation. What do you think is going to happen? In this passage? Watch this. When the Son of Man, verse 31, y'all with me? Yes. Y'all with me? 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the thrones of His glory, and He shall gather all nations. Which would be what?
Gentiles.
Say that again.
Gentiles.
And He shall separate them one from another as a sheep divided this, as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats. Now, what are the sheep?
Gentiles.
What are the goats?
Gentiles.
That's right. I thought for years that the sheep were Israel. How many have thought that at one time? It isn't. They're Gentile nations. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, which are Gentile nations, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. What does that sound like?
Word.
Blessings, isn't it?
Yeah.
Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry and fed thee or thirsty or gave thee drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, now listen to this. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, Jews, you've done it unto me. What did that Gentile have to do to get into that kingdom? Did he have to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? What did he have to do? Not one time outside of Paul's epistles do you find any hope for a Gentile. So why are we going to churches, listen to me, left and right, that are teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that gives absolutely no hope to the Gentiles?
That's right.
That's weird, isn't it?
Confusion.
People wonder why there's so many people, I believe this, I believe that. Well, what does the Word of God say? When I say that, they go, well, I don't know. Amen. Then he says, 41. Then, why do these people end up in the lake of fire? Then shall he answer unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye workers, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Why are these people going to everlasting fire? Prepared for the devil and his angels? Why are they going there? For I was a hungry, and you gave me no meat. He didn't say, you didn't believe on me. He said, you didn't bless one of the Jews that were the least. You didn't do what I asked you to do. Gentiles, the only thing you had to do was find a Jew and what? Until you get to Romans 2, Philemon. Now, it's your time. You may not agree with me. I'll give you a second. Give me one verse that there was a Gentile who just believed on Jesus Christ and trusted His finished work of Calvary. There isn't one example. I gave you all the examples. So where did that wicked philosophy come in?
Traditions. They made it up.
They just made it up. Huh? They did not rightly divide. They failed to rightly divide the word of truth. But now, listen. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to end up with a couple more verses and we're done. Now, you wouldn't want to miss today for nothing. Amen?
Amen?
You got something today. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Whose faith?
Christ.
The faith of Christ. And that not of yourselves, like in Matthew 25, you have to find someone hungry and fed them and thirsty and gave them drink. It is a gift of God for you. Not everybody. Not of works. Well, I helped a Jew out the other day. Can't say that today. I found a Jew that was thirsty. You understand? No way. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Paul said, in me first they text. Amen. Romans 11. Verse 6. And if by grace, are you saved by grace?
Yes.
Then it is no more of works. What was the works? Have I nailed that down sufficiently?
Yes.
Come on. Either you believe your Bible today, right now, right here, where you're sitting, or you don't. Say, I'm a Bible-believing saint of God. Hey, listen, I'm not into religion. I don't care. What did the Bible say? You see? If by grace, then it is no more of works. Well, what was the works? Find a Jew and bless him. And when did that start? Genesis chapter 12. And when did it end? With the Apostle Paul and the gospel of the grace of God that says what? It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. Doesn't matter whether you're black or white. Doesn't matter whether you're short, tall. Doesn't matter whether you're a girl, female. It doesn't matter if you're a homosexual. Doesn't matter if you're a drunkard. Doesn't matter if you're an alcoholic. It doesn't matter if you're a blasphemer. You can get saved right now by the finished work of Calvary that happened 2,000 years ago at that cross. And there isn't a person that couldn't get saved that they wanted. Everything that could possibly be done for your salvation has already been done. God is not going to climb back on the tree. God is not going to die for your sins any more than He has already died. He isn't going to change His motto. Jesus paid it all. How many sins did Jesus pay for?
All.
You know what that meant for me? Something that I wouldn't even want to mention in front of you guys.
That's right. You don't have to.
Thank God. And you know what? How many sins were taken away?
All.
And so how many sins do I have now? Why? Because I ran down the altar and I slung some snot? Because I said some sinner's prayer. Is that why God forgave you?
No.
I mean, people say, well, I said the sinner's prayer. Then you're probably still lost. What does the sinner's prayer have to do with it? It didn't change the fact of what He did 2,000 years ago, did He? It's not changing. Say, well, I repented of my sins. Whoopee-doo. He already died for your sins. When? 2,000 years ago. How many sins do you have? So what could keep you out of heaven?
Your mind belief.
Just your belief. Deny the fact that Christ paid it all. The reason you've been confused all your life is because most people are confused all their lives. They're on that treadmill. I was there. I know how you feel. My suggestion is get off.
That's right.
Stop walking that dumb treadmill. It ain't going to get you anywhere.
If you try it.
If you're trying to be a Christian, guess what? The 24th of August, 1983, I quit trying. I jumped off the treadmill. You know, up to that point, I dedicated my life going to church, repented, all of it, mute. I always had that little guilty feeling in the back. I hadn't done enough. You know why? I was on the treadmill.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But on that Thursday morning, in that bathroom, I chunked it all. And it came down to this at the very end. God, if what you did at that cross isn't good enough, I'll just die and go to hell. I'm trusting that cross. As soon as I chunked everything in my mind that I thought I had confidence in, Paul says I counted it all but dumb. Man, peace came over me and I realized, look, He's either paid it all or He hadn't. Just relax. You were on your way to hell anyway, amen? It wasn't like you were going to escape it. What, are you better than the other billions of people that haven't made it by their goodness? But right now, today, you can stop. Doesn't matter where you've been. Right now is the day of day salvation. Right now is the day when grace is available to all men. And you can receive that grace right now, right here. And you know what it is? It's a decision. Do you believe that Jesus paid it all? You think that that's the means? And you can relax in that. Brother Moore gave this illustration once, and I'll leave you with this in your mind. It's a wheelbarrow. And the guy gets up, and he gets all the cameras and the news media there, and he gets that wheelbarrow, and he starts tightroping out on this wheelbarrow, and he gets about a third of the way out there. And he asks, "How many believe?" And the whole crowd yells, "Yes! Come on, help me. Yes! Oh, yeah!" So he backs up and he says, "How many really believe?"
Yes!
Then get in the wheelbarrow. It's one thing to believe in vain. It's another thing to be sitting in that wheelbarrow when your total trust is upon Him getting you across the other side.
That's right.
That's salvation. Just relax. Do you think I would get in that wheelbarrow and start wiggling? Huh? You think I'd start trying to do something to help us balance? I'd be like this. I'm breathing, but barely, Lord, let's go. You know what I mean?
That's right.
I mean, you just, I'm trusting you. It's all up to you. This is fun! That's what it's all about. Any questions? Three Gentiles in the New Testament. They give an example.